Join me, if you would, please, in your Bibles. It'll be on the projection there in front of you, but we are now moving into the book of 2 John. And as you look at the book of 2 John, actually a letter of 2 John, just simply one chapter. And so I will be reading to you the first six verses. Hear the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And this is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Please note the sermon title. It is Striving for a Healthy Church. And that is, of course, our prayer. As a body of Christ here, we pray for us to be a healthy, a good church. But then that begs the question, what is a healthy church? What are the measurables? What parameters? What would you look at to determine the health and life of the church? Are we a healthy church? General Synod has given us an assessment process that asks just that question. And I will be passing that on to the session at our meeting this coming week. There's about 8 points of criteria, if I remember correctly, asking us, the session, to measure, assess where we are in those different categories. But still, I'm not going to give you that assessment. It's a little dry in some spots. But I ask the question, what's a healthy church? So I dove back into our history of the Reformed Church and other parameters, biblical, asking that question, what is a healthy church? And so from John Calvin, the great reformer, he brought forth several items for us to give consideration to, answering or at least responding to that question about us being a healthy church. First of all, he says that the church is a divine appointment. However, it is not divine. Meaning, while the church is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as Jesus told Peter, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It is a divine establishment. However, the church itself, and I know this sounds sort of paradoxical, but the church itself is not divine. Meaning the people, because we have believers and non-believers sitting in the pews. Secondly, the church is one, not many. As I mentioned in the sermon last week, there are many organizations in the United States and around the world who would like to classify themselves as being among the church, but there is only one true church of Jesus Christ. There is only one. And that one true church is that true, but again, sort of in a paradoxical way, it's not perfect. It tickles me that folks, you know, leave the church and say, well, that church is full of hypocrites, or that church is having this problem or that problem. And I'll tell them, well, as soon as you go to that next church, there's going to be a problem there too. Because we are not perfect. We are not perfect. Secondly, and this one has come to bear in the last couple of years, the church is free. not free as in cost, but free to be the church. It is in bondage to no man or to no government, to no one individual or no person or body. It is free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've said, we've realized this tension in the last couple of years when our government has tried to influence when we could or could not meet. We are free to worship the one true God. And I think sometimes in the United States, we become desensitized, take for granted that freedom that we do have. We are free to worship the one true God, and that's what we are called to do and to be. Now, those are just some of the things that John Calvin brought out, but let's get a little bit more biblical and ask the question about what is the church? Well, we believe there are three marks of the true church. Three marks of the true church. First of all, the first mark of a true church is that there is sound expository preaching. A true church will be fed by God's word preached, not by man's word offered in lectures and stories. We open the Bible, we open the book of God, we open the book, and we preach directly from God's holy word. That's the first mark. Second mark is that there is a practice of sacraments of grace, the Lord's Supper and baptism. If you are a church of Jesus Christ, then you will practice, you will bring forth to the people the sacraments of baptism and of the Lord's Supper. And then thirdly, there is discipline. There is discipline. Discipline must be exercised in the church. And undisciplined people are not to be considered the true church. Now, please understand, discipline can take on two roles. There is positive discipline, and then there is negative discipline. What I'm doing here now is positive discipline. We are preaching from the Word. And so this Word forms and teaches and instructs and guides discipline. But then when there are infractions within the church, then there is the negative discipline. Presbytery actually met here this past Tuesday to take up a situation in one of our neighboring churches that will have a negative aspect of discipline coming toward it once we discover all the parameters of the issue. So now I ask the question, are we a healthy church? Using those things that John Calvin has given us, using those three marks, preaching, sacraments, and discipline, are we a healthy church? Are we a true church? Now, opposed to this criteria, and I'll leave you to answer that question, I have my answer. Now, opposed to these criteria, we should not determine the health of a church based on how many members are in the church. One of the questions we always get when pastors meet, well, how many come to your church? What's your attendance? What's your member roles like? I don't know. I do know, but we don't judge the size of the church as a healthy church. We have too many large churches that have vast numbers, but have some very unhealthy behaviors. And the opposite of that is true. We have very small churches in numbers, but have wonderful Christian, true church behaviors. So numbers. We can say a healthy church is a community of committed Jesus followers who have a common vision, an intent to worship the one true God. A healthy church has thriving ministries, even though they may be small in number and not very wide-ranging in their outreach. And finally, a true church has trusted leadership. Trusted leadership. I believe we can search the scriptures and find these characteristics concerning the church. So again, I ask the question, are we a healthy church? And all of these criteria that I have just given you, please notice, they all spoke of quality, not quantity. Quality issues, sound preaching, sacraments offered, and discipline exerted. And most churches do fine on one and two. But on that third one, discipline, that's tough. As we turn our attention toward the scriptures here of which I've just read, imagine being part of a church that had been founded by the Apostle Paul some 30 years earlier. When Paul left, the young Timothy was there preaching in Ephesus. And then after Timothy left, John, the Apostle John, shows up to be the pastor. How would you like to be a part of that church? Paul and Timothy and John, and I believe Irenaeus followed John and Ignatius and all. And so some incredibly quality men leading that church. Wouldn't it be great to be a part of that church? But as we've seen in this study of 1 John, and now we move into 2 John, their church had some incredible problems. False teachers were within their numbers. As I said, a true church is that divine church, but it is not perfect. Even the church that Paul founded, and John is now here the preacher, it was not a perfect church. False teachers were there teaching. They claimed to have a secret knowledge, a secret knowing of Jesus Christ that we should assess or send to. They were misleading. They were denying the essential truths of Jesus Christ. And so here in this short letter, John gives us warnings and guidance about being a true church. So let's dig in. As we dig in, notice the title. Notice how he greets them. The elder to the elect lady and her children. A very unique address. The elder, we assume, I think rightfully so, this is the Apostle John. But then to identify the church as the elect lady and her children. It is believed the reason John did this is because of the persecution that the members of the church were getting. So it's almost a code language, if you will. Folks outside the church would not understand this idea of referring to the church as the elect lady. But the church is the bride of Christ. And so he refers to this church in Ephesus as the elect lady, the church of the elect body of Jesus Christ. I could refer to you, New Sterling, as the elect lady from the elder, because we are the bride of Christ. So here John begins to encourage in writing to the elect lady. It is the same reason we're given this letter today, for the encouragement to be within us, for the encouragement to come to us, because we're facing the same things that John was facing back in his day, false teachers within the church. As I said, Presbytery met here this week to look at an issue of where a church was being misled. And so we have these issues within our church today. But he begins with an encouragement. Look at verse 4. He says, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth. This is one of the great joys of a pastor. This is one of the great joys of the leadership of the church. If and when we could make that same statement. Seeing folks within the congregation hungry for the truth of the gospel. And then hearing that gospel, walking, living in it. He says again, we walk according to the commands from the beginning so that we should walk in it. Meaning that we should conduct our lives based on the truth being given by the sound preaching. So when a pastor looks out or an elder looks out at the congregation and sees you living your life, listening to your conversations, See how you treat each other in your homes or in your workplace. Do we as leadership see, hear you walking, living in the truth that's been given? One of the greatest assessments of a successful ministry within the church, especially the preaching ministry, is how is it being lived out in the people? Do we hear it? Then walk right out that door and do something totally different. One of the greatest measuring sticks, if you will, of the ministry of the church is the living and the conduct of the people. Here John says, I rejoice greatly when I see the little children walking in the truth. And as I said, you know, this is a great challenge for us today. There's so much non-truth, so much subjective truth being given, even from our pulpits. And so we are challenged greatly. And for me to stand here and claim that there is objective truth, you can know the truth. There is true truth. That would fall on deaf ears to many folks in our society today because it doesn't fit the narrative. You have your truth. I have my truth. You have your truth. Well, if you have a truth and you have a truth and I have a truth and we don't have true truth, then there is no true truth. Well, that is not true. There is truth. And I'm not patting myself on the back, please. It would hurt my shoulders. But to have the courage and the fortitude and the willingness to stand here in this pulpit and preach to a society that there is objective truth. And the only way we can live in this society is to the only way we can live as Christians in this society is to believe that this is true truth. And John says we can acknowledge this because it abides in the people. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit abides in you. And that is the person that brings the ability to understand, comprehend, and accept this to be true. Not because Tim said so. Not because Dr. Earl said so in his day. But because it is the truth of God. John gives us several points here for, again, measuring, assessing, living, conducting our lives as a healthy church. First, life within the church centers on a personal relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And you might be saying, well, duh, that's obvious. No, it's not. As I said, the church is made up of believers, and the church is made up of non-believers. But for us to have and to be a true, healthy church, Jesus Christ is the head. And we all have, should have, must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Our salvation begins through God's sovereign choice. He chose us through His grace alone. He chose us to be His children. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for His children, that He could call you His own. And as we read in Sunday school, He is now gone to prepare a place for you. And if He is gone to prepare a place, He's coming back to take you to be where He is. That's the message of the church. As Paul says, if we preach another gospel whatsoever, then we are not a church. Then also notice in his greeting here in verse 3, He says, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. Notice the sequence. It's important. The sequence. Through God's grace, he extends his mercy to us, and therefore we have peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. He doesn't just say that as a warm saying. I mean, we every time you see somebody, how you doing? How are you? Well, do you really care? It's just natural. Okay, don't take that this way or this that way. Yeah, that. Don't take this that way. Grace, the grace of God, and through grace he extends mercy to you, and through that mercy extended to you, there is peace that should be within your soul. This is actually a prayer. Grace, mercy, and peace for you. Again, this truth is to be found in Jesus Christ. Again, there's so many challenges to this today. This is why sound doctrine on these matters is so critical. You know, it almost sounds like I'm just constantly repeating myself here. But it is because of the essential nature of this. As I preached last week, repetition is a primary means of teaching. Repetition, over and over and over again. Because it's so critical. It is so critical to us. So sound doctrine is an element of a healthy church. Again, we don't preach stories. We don't preach fables. We don't preach myths. We don't come up here and we preach the truth. We preach sound doctrine. We preach what God has given us in his holy word. And then in that truth, thirdly, for health in the church, that church must express itself in love. Please note that John is concerned for both truth and love. He mentions truth 5 times here in 6 verses. He mentions love 4 times here in these 6 verses. They cannot, they must not be separated. Some will set aside truth and raise love above it, saying, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe, and I love you. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. But that's what the world's being taught today. It doesn't matter what you believe. Just believe whatever you want to, and I love you. That's fine. I love you. Then on the other hand, some exalt the truth so much that they cause divisions in the church, and there's no love and affection. And so see, there's this balance. They go hand in hand. Love and truth, truth and love, they go hand in hand. Again, remember how many times John has said, love one another, love one another. In the church, love is the foundation, the love of Christ for us, and then our love for each other. Based in the truth that we have been taught. And then finally, a healthy church, according to John, is maintained through obedience. Obedience. For a healthy church, John emphasizes love, emphasizes truth. As I said, they go hand in hand. Now he adds obedience. What good is it for a preacher to stand here in a pulpit and preach the truth and then, as I said, walk out the door and just forget totally about whatever has been said? Obedience. He mentions commandments here 4 times. Walk in accordance with the commandments. Live according to the commandments. That's obedience. And so we are called on to be obedient. And he said, this is what you've heard from the beginning. So from the very beginning, you've heard the teachings of Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, you've heard love one another. From the very beginning, you've heard the truth. He is the truth. Nothing's changed. And so we are to live and be obedient to this truth. So I ask the question, are we a healthy church? Giving you some of Calvin's thoughts, giving you the three marks of a church, and we could probably boil it down to this: truth, love, and obedience. Truth, preaching the truth, expecting the truth to be taught. Love, the love of God, the love of each other. And then obedience, following the commandments, following this truth being taught. Are we a healthy church? I believe we are. However, I will also be honest with you that in the area of discipline, like all churches, but that's not an excuse, we probably fall a little short. The positive discipline, this part, this is the easy part. But when we err and stray, and I'm not talking about New Sterling specifically here, but sometimes in the church when we err and stray, we just don't like the conflict of going to someone and saying, we need to address an issue. That's hard. So, yes, I believe we're a healthy church. Do we have much wear area to grow in? Absolutely. Are we perfect? By no means. Do we hold the truth of Jesus Christ as central? I pray, and I think we do. Are we obedient? Could probably do a little work there. As much as this is a question to the body, the church is made up of individuals. So, are you a healthy church member? Which is a more personal question for each of us. Truth, love, and obedience. We pray to be a healthy church. Amen and amen.